It is good to see everyone here this morning. We do have visitors. We're always glad to have people come and visit with us as we study together and worship and sing praise to God and do as we've done this morning. One of the things that really bothers me as I watch people sometimes is this. If I see people that I think are being hypocritical, pretending to be something that they're really not. And it may be in religion, it may be in something else, but just putting on a front when you just feel like underneath they're not. As I see that, I am reminded of two or three things. One is, I don't know people's heart, and sometimes people may appear on the outside to be hypocritical when really they're not, and maybe they're just as sincere as they can be, and God knows the heart, and I don't, so I have to remind myself not to judge other people's motives and to be careful about doing that. Another thing that very often comes to my mind is I look at myself and I say, am I being a hypocrite? And what is a hypocrite? Is my life hypocritical or is it real? And of course, none of us wants to admit that we're being hypocritical, but I think sometimes we need to do that. And yet, at the same time, when I think about that, I think about the fact that if a person is really trying to do what's right, and they're struggling maybe with something in their life or struggling with some difficulty or sin even that has beset them in the past, and they have problems and they give in and they try to straighten up and do better and they give in and they straighten up and do better and they give in, and it's easy for somebody, maybe if we've not been through that kind of thing and we've not faced it, it's easy for us to look at them and say, well, they're just being hypocritical and not really trying, when in fact they may be giving it everything they've got. And I'm reminded that just because a person knows what's right doesn't necessarily mean when they do wrong they're a hypocrite. King David committed some of the worst sins in our eyes that anybody could do, and yet there was nothing really hypocritical about what he did. He just sinned and he did wrong, and finally when it was made plain to him and pointed out to him, he acknowledged his sin and repented of it. And so I think as we look at that, we need to be careful as we judge other people and as we think about it. That really is not what my lesson is about this morning. But it sort of is what's behind my lesson as I was thinking about this lesson and thinking about preparing this lesson. I want to talk about being created in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now the idea of walking in these good works means it's not just something we do once in a while. This is our whole life. We are created in Christ Jesus to live for Him. Paul says that when we become Christians in Romans 6 and verse 4, he says we are buried with Christ in baptism and then we're raised to walk in newness of life. He says we've been buried with Him through baptism into death in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. And the idea of walk is a lifestyle. It is the way that we live. And so he says we're created to walk in good works. We're created to walk in a new life when we become a Christian. In Romans 6 and verse 8, he says, now if we have died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with Him. Then we drop down to verse 11, even so consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And so as a Christian, Christ is to be our life. Now that is a huge, huge statement. I saw a bumper sticker that said, "Fishing is my life." Saw one day that said, "Hunting is my life." I know some people that could have one that says, "Shopping is my life." Football is my life. What is my life? What is it that, I know a guy that sports is his life. I mean, this guy drives or flies all over this country to watch any kind of sporting event. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's golf or if it's basketball or if it's high school or if it's college or if it's professional. It doesn't matter necessarily even which team it is. Sports is his life. That's what he gets up in the morning, and if he's not going to a game somewhere, he watches them on television. And what Paul is saying is that Jesus is to be our life. And that means that we become a new person created to be like him in his image. In Colossians 3, beginning of verse 3, he says, "For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, since Christ is our life, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry." And so he is saying that what we need to do is we need to, those things, we're dead to them. That's not a part of our life anymore, because Christ is our life. In drop down to verse 9, he says, "Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practice. Have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him." Notice I underlined the word "being." And the reason I did is because it is an ongoing process. As Christians, we are being renewed into the image of Christ. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not going to happen just, we become a Christian today and tomorrow we wake up and we're just like Jesus Christ. No, it's not going to happen that way. It is an ongoing process. It's a renewal, he says. And he says, Christ is all and in all. It's all about living for him. Talking about being a hypocrite, and it's not about just talking about it. It's not about just putting a bumper sticker on our car. It means our attitude toward God, our attitude toward ourselves, our attitude toward life changes, and we become a new person so that God is truly first in our life. And we become Christians, we're saved, to become holy even as God is holy. In 1 Peter 1 in verse 14, he says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which were yours in ignorance." And then he says, "But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." God says, "I want you to think like I think. I want you to act like I act. I want you to be like me. Be holy even as he is holy." And so Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, there in verses 1 and 2, he says, if you back up just a little bit before this to chapter 4 at the end of the chapter, he says there that we're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, put on a new self, he says, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And then he says, therefore, be imitators of God. And so we are to walk in love as Christ loved us. We are to become like God in our thinking. We become a new person in Jesus Christ. That means that we die to ourselves, and life is no longer about me. It's not what I like. It's not what I want. It's not what I think. But what does God want? What does God like? What does God think? And that's what really matters. God's will is to become our will. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 30, He says, I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And in John chapter 4, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. In John 6 and verse 38, He says, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. In the garden, Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will be done. And when He taught His disciples to pray, He taught them to pray, your will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. You see, everything about Jesus was about the will of God. He wanted to carry out the will of God and live the will of God and be all that God wanted Him to be in every part of His life. And so it was about doing the will of God. The Apostle Paul had the same attitude. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. He says, I'm not living for Paul anymore. I'm living for God. I'm living for Jesus Christ. And we are to have that same attitude. We are to die to self and let Christ live in us. And so in Colossians 3 and verse 17, He says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. You know how we do things in the name of the Lord Jesus? We do what glorifies Him. We do what brings Him honor. We do what praises Him. And if we do that, then we'll follow His will. And so we do what we do. We are who we are because we belong to Christ, because we have been made new in Him. Now this means that we've got to make a change, a total transformation of who we are, of what we are, of why we are. We make a physical change because now we realize that our body is the temple of God. We're to make a mental change. We've seen already and we'll see again that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We make an emotional change. We don't worry about things. Jesus says not to worry about anything. Paul says don't worry about anything. But with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so it's an emotional change. It's a spiritual change. Because Christ is now our life and it's all about Him. And this brings about a social change. Because Paul says evil companionships corrupt good morals. And so as we see these things, we see that it changes everything about us. Paul explains this in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. He says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or show what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You see here that our bodies belong to God. We have a spiritual change. Our minds are changed. All in these two verses that we see here. If you turn over to Romans chapter 12 and just look there in that chapter, he says there in verses 1 and 2 that Jesus is Lord. And that's really what we read in those two verses. And if you look at verses 3 through 5, we see there that it is a change in our relationship. We're not ours anymore, we're His. It's not about us, it's about God. In verses 6 through 8, there is a new stewardship of serving God by serving others. And then verses 9 through the rest of the chapter, verse 21, it is a change in our fellowship, our partners in life, our social life. And so Paul talks about how we are to become a new person in the early part of Romans, and then in this chapter, he says, this is how it works. This is how you do it. And he gives us very practical lessons on how to become a new person. To be created a new person in Christ Jesus is not about just going to church, and that is important. I don't mean to diminish the importance of that at all. But Jesus did not die on the cross just so we can be a member of a church. Not even His church. That's not why He died on the cross. And it's not just about being right in doctrine. And again, that is important, that we understand the truth and we stand for the truth. But Jesus didn't die on the cross so I can prove you wrong, or somebody, you can prove yourself right to somebody else. It's not about being right in everything. It's not about our worship services. And again, that is extremely important, that we are here to worship God and to serve Him. But Jesus didn't die on the cross so we can come together and sing beautiful songs. He didn't come together so we can engage in prayer or even have a sermon or even take the Lord's Supper. That's not why He died on the cross. Jesus came to earth and He died so that we could become like Him and that we could live for God and in eternity with God. It will change all of these things that we've just looked at. But they are not the end in themselves. And many times what happens is people are raised by Christian parents. They become a member of the church, and they are never really changed in their heart or their life. They really do not give themselves to Jesus Christ, and they wander aimlessly through their lives spiritually, never having really come to a true devotion to Jesus Christ. And I know that's true because I did it myself for many years. We have to make that personal commitment to God that says, I am yours, and I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to live for you, and I'm going to let you tell me what to do, and I'm going to let you tell me how to live. And when we do that, things are not the most important in our lives any longer. Money is not our driving force. Getting ahead in our career is not what it's all about. And while there's nothing wrong with making money, and there's nothing wrong with having some things, and there's nothing wrong with advancing in our careers, the fact is, if that is our life, then we have not made Jesus our life. And we must do that. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 4, He says, God being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us. And then in chapter 5 of Ephesians, He says in verses 1 and 2, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. You see, Jesus said the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. So in Colossians 3 and verse 12, beginning, He says, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. What this says is that the reason I serve God is because I love God. The reason I do what I do is because I love God. And the reason I do what I do toward others is because I love others, because God loves me. And this should be what motivates us, and it should be what helps us to keep going day after day, is our love for God and our love for each other. In Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, he says, let love be without hypocrisy. I actually did get it in there, didn't I? Hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. And Jesus says in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I loved you, that you also love one another. And then in verse 35, he says, by this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Love is not some mushy feeling. Love is what we do. Love is an action. It is a conscious effort that we put forth to show our devotion to God and to show our devotion to one another. And if we truly love as we should love, then we will have the attitude that Jesus expressed in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7 and verse 12 in what we normally call the Golden Rule. He says, however you want people to treat you, so treat them, for this is the law and the prophets. If we really love each other, we will treat each other the way that we want to be treated. But how does God treat us? The fact is, the way God treats us in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 is, he says, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God loves us, and he shows that love by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins, to die for our sins, so that we can have eternal life. This morning, the question is, have you been created a new person in Jesus Christ? Have you begun to walk that new life? And it may be that you're here and you're not a Christian and you never have given yourself to God, you never have given yourself to Jesus Christ, but if you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you believe that he died for your sins, then you can come this morning and confess your faith in him and ask him to forgive you. And if you're buried in baptism, he'll wash away every sin you ever committed, and you'll be raised to walk in newness of life. Dead to sin, alive to God. And if as one who has halfway given yourself, you need to make that commitment to God, to give yourself totally, to give yourself completely to him. If you have never been renewed in Jesus Christ, been created to become a new person, then we invite you to come today as we stand and as we sing.